Father, we just come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And this afternoon hour, Lord, the height of the day, I pray you would still speak to us. For 2,000 years ago, at midday, you sat by the wellside to speak to a Samaritan woman. It was hot. You were tired. But you were ready to speak. And this afternoon, Father, we are ready to hear. Speak to us, O Lord. For you alone have the words of life. And we have come for life. Your word is life. It's beyond knowledge and wisdom. It is life. Speak to us, Father. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 In around the world, today, in so many churches begins the 40-day fast. Lent begins today. Many churches follow it. Many churches don't follow it. But today is the beginning. Why 40 days? Why not 39 days? Why not 30 days? Why not 25 days? Why is this 40 days set apart? And it finishes with Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. It's given this 40 days to examine ourselves. Are we walking by faith? Are we living by faith? Or are we living by flesh? Scripture says, by the works of the flesh, no man will please God. No flesh will stand before God. When the first time the word 40 is used in the Bible, it was used during the times of Noah. For 40 days and 40 nights the flood came. And by the time it was over, no flesh was alive. Only those who were in the spirit was lifted up higher and higher. It took Moses 40 days in the presence of God before he could receive the law. And it is through the law that we understand who God is. The law hadn't come, we wouldn't have known the character and the nature of God. Because the core of the law is, be holy as I am holy. And it took a man of the spirit 40 days in the presence of God to do completely to die to the flesh before he could actually hear and receive the law. And when Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he was driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, and for 40 days he was tested, and at the end of the 40 days, scripture says he came back in the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you follow Lent, we start examining ourselves. Because the Bible constantly talks talks about examining ourselves. Whether we are in the faith or not. In what are we standing? If you turn with me to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, and verse 12, this is what scripture says. Yes, Pastor.
తాను నిలుచుచున్నానని తలంచుకున్న వాడు పడకుండునట్లు జాగ్రత్తగా చూసుకునవలను.
ఇఫ్ యు థింక్ యు ఆర్ స్టాండింగ్ ఫర్మ్, బి కేర్ఫుల్ దట్ యు ఆర్ నాట్, దట్ యు డోంట్ ఫాల్. And this is asked for the church. Examine how you are standing. How you are standing. Lest you fall. That's why we come to the gathering of the word of God. That's why we study the word of God. And we see so many men of God who actually were falling when they thought they were standing. And if you go to the gospel according to Mark, chapter 16, chapter 14, come to Mark 14. If you get it in your Bible, you can read it. We will read from verse 66 and verse 72, 66 to 72. Chapter
14 verse.
Yeah. This is Peter. You know whom he is denying Jesus to? Not to the high priest. Not to Pilate. Not to Herod. To a servant girl. A girl who has no power to harm him.
This
is just a servant girl. And this is Jesus' foremost disciple who thought he was standing. And let us just look at a few things about Peter. First thing, we all know how Peter was called. Peter's call was spectacular. He hadn't caught anything the whole night. Jesus had come to preach. He got into his empty boat. Jesus preached, then told him to push the boat further into the sea, asked him to put the net on one side. Peter said, "We caught nothing, but at your word we will do it." And then he caught the biggest catch of his life. And Peter had a revelation who Jesus was. And God told Peter, "Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." So his call was personal and spectacular. Another time in Jesus' life, Jesus asked his disciples, "What do the people say? Who do the people say that I am?" Some said Jeremiah, some said Isaiah, some said prophets. Then Jesus asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are Christ, the Son of God." You know what Jesus said? "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. This has been revealed to you from my Father in heaven." So Peter was called personally, spectacularly by Jesus. Peter had a divine revelation of who Jesus was. Peter was only one of the three to see Jesus in his glory on the mountain. Other nine did not see. He was only one of the three to see who Jesus really looked like. And Peter was the only disciple to walk on water. And yet Peter denied Jesus like nobody else did. And if Peter can deny to a servant girl, all of us can. That's why scripture says, examine yourself. If any man thinks he stands, beware lest he fall. Beware lest he fall. Now let's go to, because there is a Peter in all of us. Go to Mark chapter 14 again. And verse 27. Listen to what Jesus is saying. And look at verse 29. Then Peter said, even if all of you fall away, I will not follow. If any man thinks he will stand, beware lest he fall. We have to constantly examine ourselves. Constantly examine. Am I standing or am I really falling inside? And Peter looks at all the disciples and he says, even if all of them fall away, I will not fall. It is not zeal. Don't mistake, it is zeal for Jesus. Zeal is good. It is confidence in self. Scripture says, cursed is the man who puts trust in flesh. We put no trust in ourselves. We don't put trust in our faith. We do not trust in our fasting. We do not put trust in our prayer. We do not even put our trust in our church to carry you. We put our trust in God and God alone. God and God alone. If any man stands, he will only stand by grace. Only by grace. That's why we examine our faith. Because the proof of faith is this. Because Romans 5:2 says we have access to God's grace by faith. Yes, if there is faith, there is grace. And in this grace we stand. Peter was not standing on grace. Peter was standing in his own strength. Look at what Jesus says. Go to verse 27 again. And read carefully. Loudly, sister. Okay. Who is saying? Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying. All of you will follow it. What is Peter saying? I will not fall. Jesus is saying. Who is saying? Jesus is saying. It is not Jesus is just saying. Read the other portion. It is written. He is not only saying, he is saying it is written. You know what Peter is saying? Even if it is written, I will not follow it. He is exalting himself above Christ and the written word of God.
And
we already read the text for today. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. If any man thinks he stands, beware lest he fall. That is scripture. It is written. It is written. And because it is written, we can't be flippant like Peter. We have to be careful. Whether you came to the Lord last week, or whether we have been in ministry for 25 years, the scripture is written to everybody. It is written. Be careful. Be careful. We see before our eyes what's happening around the world. One of the most powerful nations in the world is brought to its knees by a virus that cannot be seen with your eyes. We are sitting here today. Let me tell you. If your trust is in the church, I just came this month back from Malaysia and Singapore. But if I were to go now, all churches are shut down. You're not allowed to meet. You know why? Because of a virus. You know what? If the virus comes to Hyderabad, you know what the government will say? Schools closed.
College closed.
Everything shut down. If any man thinks he will stand because the church gathers, let him be beware, he will only stand alone. You look at the videos coming from China. No schools.
Schools level.
No colleges.
Colleges level.
No factories.
A factories
no offices.
A officer.
Roads are empty.
Roads
are railway stations are empty. Airports are empty. Everything is empty. One little virus has brought a nation to its knees. But what is written? When these things happen, lift up your heads, because you know your redemption is near. But lift our heads, flesh should be dead, spirit should be alive. That's why Jesus said, my word is spirit, my spirit is life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. You know, everybody hates summer. Everybody hates summer. Do you like summer? Summer has started. It is coming. It will become worse. But in every country where coronavirus has taken over, they are waiting for summer, because when summer comes, the virus dies. Now, do you like summer? You see, all you need is perspective, everything will change. Because I may have confidence in my ministry. I may have confidence in my church. I may have confidence in my faith. I may have confidence in my prayer. I may have confidence in my fasting life. God says, any man who stands, be careful lest he falls. If you and I stand, we only stand by the grace of God. And grace of God alone. It is grace that will enable us to stand till the end. Here Jesus is saying, and he's saying it is written. And you know what Peter says? I don't care whether you are saying. I don't care whether whether it is written. Even if everybody falls, I will not fall. Oh, let's start examining ourselves today. You know what Jeremiah says? In 17:7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. You know, when we are blessed, when our trust is in God alone, and Peter tells confidently, I will not fall. And you know what Jesus says? Jesus says, before the crow crows three times, the rooster crows three times, I will not fall. And look at verse 31, what Peter says.
Jesus
is saying, before the rooster crows three times, 14:31, Mark 14:31. Emphatically. He said, even if I have to die with you, I will not
betray.
Few hours later. What is important is this. Few hours later. Few hours later. He will betray Jesus. Not to a police officer. Not to a high priest. Not to a king. To a servant girl. Who has no power to harm him. That's how radically he falls. And this is all of us, we have the same issue. No, we don't fall in church. We fall outside. We fall outside to stand up for Jesus. In our homes. In our offices. In our workplaces. We fail him. We fall him. And without grace, none of us will stand. And we are like Peter. He is the leader. He is the leader whom all the apostles will follow. It's like me saying, I don't care what the Bible says. I will never betray Jesus. Not true. Our prayer should be this. Lord, without you, I will betray you every day. I cannot do this without you. I need you. And Lord, I am so ignorant. I may not even know I am betrayed. I am betraying you when I am betraying you. Therefore, I need the knowledge of your word. Because without knowing who you are, how do I know whether I am betraying you or not? Two things are most important in our life. You know, Jesus went up a mountain one day. That was his greatest sermon ever. And the disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth. And he began a very radical message. And he opened his mouth and said, blessed. And whenever we hear Danyalu, our ears are open. We like Danyalu, right? The first thing he said is this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed. That's the first thing. That's the first and the greatest blessing. You know why? Because they will stand. They will stand till the end. So the question is this. How do you and I know we are poor in the spirit? How do we know? Well, that's the most important. Blessed are the poor in the spirit. Lord, if that is the greatest and the most real blessing, I want that blessing. I want that blessing. Lord, I want that blessing. How do I know? Now we know what it is to be poor in the body. Everywhere on the road we see them. Stop your car. Any traffic light. Amma.
Amma.
Aya.
Aya.
Aya. You know they are poor.
What should what pay the what
if you give them a bag of rice,
you know,
they won't ask you whether it is yesterday's or today's. They will not ask. They will take. If you give them a sari, they won't look at the label. They will not look whether it is torn or not. You know why? Because they are poor. They are not ashamed to ask. They are not ashamed of their poverty. They know they are poor. And they know they can live only on the charity of others. So we understand poverty in the body. So let us see if we understand the poverty of the spirit. Two things will identify us. Turn to Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. This is the first trouble in the church. First trouble. And verse 4. It's trouble over food. There is trouble in the church. And they select 7 people. The apostles will say something. We will not separate ourselves from two things. Two things. Prayer and the word of God. And I will tell you what I tell everywhere. Your and my attitudes towards our prayer life and our word life, God sees and knows whether we are poor in the spirit or not. God knows. If I am really poor, honestly, God will see me going to this and saying, Lord, open my eyes, I cannot live without your word. And God will see it in our prayer life. Lord, without you, I will not survive one day. My flesh is too strong. I will sin against you. Now read Hebrews 5 verse 7. Hebrews 5 and verse 7. Just 5, 7. In the days of his flesh. Who's this prayer life? This is Jesus' prayer life. He said, learn of me. I am meek and lowly. I am poor in the spirit. He told his disciples, you can learn of me. What is the first thing they learned of him? They learned his prayer life. In the days of his flesh, with vehement loud cries and with tears, he cried unto his father every day. That's why every day you will see in the Bible Jesus choosing a place where there was nobody, because this is the way he prayed. Why? Because he also came like a sharira dhari in this flesh. And this flesh is my enemy, not my friend. You cannot stand on the flesh. Because no flesh will God accept. So you have to die to the flesh. And it is shown in our prayer life. First in our prayer life. first in our prayer life. And one of the first things the people see is his prayer life. And that's where the disciples said, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. How do we know we are standing? By grace. Check our prayer life. God watches everybody's prayer life. Not in church. Usually God doesn't listen to the prayer life in church. If I haven't prayed at home, he will not listen to me praying here. He will say, oh, bakwas band kar do. But if I prayed at home, and I was serious, God saw it, then he will listen to me here. But that's what matters. Jesus said, your father who sees you in secret, father who sees you in secret will bless you in public. So if I had prayed in secret, when I opened my mouth in public, he will stand witness to the word I preach. So that is what matters. Saul of Tarsus was going to arrest the Christians. Jesus met him on the road. First question, who are you, Lord? Jesus of Nazareth. What will you have me do? Go to the city, it will be told you. He is blinded. And then lead him to the city. 3 days later, God calls a man called Ananias. Ananias, go to the city. Go to the street called Straight. Go to his house. There is a man, Saul of Tarsus,
Paul.
And then what did God say? Behold, he is praying. Behold, he is praying. You know what God said? That man is praying. I have heard his prayer. He is poor of the spirit. He came on the horse 3 days earlier, proud in the flesh. 3 days later, he is poor in the spirit. I have heard him. Go to him. I have chosen him. You know why? Over and over God says, he who inhabits the heavens also dwells with him who is poor in the spirit. And God says, I have chosen him. Because Paul was no longer depending upon himself. Brothers and sisters, first day of this 40 days, let's really examine our life, prayer life. You know what our prayer life normally is? Lord, I need this. My wife needs this. My children need this. All is our need. Disciples said, teach us to pray. You know what Jesus said? This is how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, your name be holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Your name, your kingdom, your will. There's nothing about me mentioned there. And at the end, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. That is how we look at our prayer. Lord, in my prayer, is your name holy? Does your kingdom come? Does your will come? When I pray for my husband, when I pray for my wife, when we pray for our children, what is our prayer? What is our prayer? What is our prayer? Usually it's admission, rank, job, marriage, good alliance. Where is God's name? God, where is God's will? Where is God's kingdom? Oh, look at the women who prayed in the Bible. Rebecca, after 20 years of marriage, is now pregnant. But she doesn't know it is twins. The first time in the Bible somebody is going to have twins. And there is so much trouble in her womb. And she goes and asks the Lord, Lord, what's happening here? You know what the Lord says? There are twins here. But it's not the elder. It's a younger that is chosen. She heard the destiny of her children. She heard the destiny of her children. That God has chosen the younger. And do you know what the Bible says? You know what the Bible says? From that hour, she kept Jacob with her. And not Esau. Both from the same womb. Both mothered by the same mother. One separated. Why? Because she has heard in prayer. When Isaac marries, He's 40 years old. And when Isaac is 40 years old, Abraham is 140 years old. Very easy.
140.
When Esau and Jacob are born, Isaac is 60. Abraham is
160.
Why is this so important? Because Rebecca kept Jacob with her. And both of them are growing. Esau goes out.
But
she doesn't let Jacob go out. Why? Because she has heard this child has been chosen by God. Abraham dies in 175. So from the time Jacob is born, his great-grandfather is alive for 15 years. So Jacob will hear about the God of Isaac and the God of Abraham in that tent. So that prophetically the writer of Hebrews can say Abraham by faith dwelt in the tent with Isaac and
Jacob.
You know why? Because one mother prayed. The Bible doesn't write that Abraham dwelled in the tent with Isaac and Esau.
బైబిల్ ఎప్పుడు కూడా రాయబడలేదు అబ్రహాము గుడారంలో ఇస్సాకు యాకోబు ఇస్సాకు ఇష్మాయేలుతో ఉన్నారన్న సంగతి
దట్స్ నాట్ రైట్
ఆ విధంగా రాయబడలేదు
దట్స్ వై గాడ్ ఇస్ లుకింగ్ హౌ వి ప్రే
అందుకొరకే దేవుడు చూస్తున్నాడు మనం ఎలా ప్రార్థిస్తున్నాం
ఆర్ వి లీనింగ్ ఆన్ ద హ్యాండ్ ఆఫ్ ఫ్లెష్
ఇదిగో శరీర దారిగా మనం ప్రార్థన చేస్తున్నాం
ఆర్ వి ఆర్ లీనింగ్ ఆన్ టు గాడ్
లేదా దేవుని పైన ఆదుకొని ప్రార్థన చేస్తున్నాం
దట్ ఇస్ హౌ హన్నా ప్రేడ్
ఇదిగో హన్నా ప్రార్థన చేస్తున్నాడు
లార్డ్ గివ్ మీ ఎ సన్
ప్రభువా ఒక కుమారుని
అండ్ ఐ విల్ గివ్ ద సన్ ఆల్ ద డేస్ ఆఫ్ ద లైఫ్ బ్యాక్ టు
ఇదిగో తిరిగి తన జీవిత కాలము
And when there were 40,000 soldiers in Israel, not a man had a sword or a spear. And the enemy was taking over the land. The Bible says, I, Deborah, the mother, arose. What is our prayer life? What is our prayer life? God looks whether we are poor in the spirit. In 3 days, he so proud Saul has become poor Paul. And God says, I have heard him. I see him. And our prayer life is a sign of whether we are poor in the spirit or not. That's the first blessing. First blessing. Here is Jesus, the very Son of God. God who have come in the flesh, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled without measure. And the Bible records his prayer life in the days of his flesh with loud cries and with tears. He cried out to him who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. And this first day we look into that word and we acknowledge, Lord, I don't pray like that. I am not poor in the spirit. I am very rich. My prayer life shows it. My prayer life shows it. You go to China now. In so many places of China, their doors have been bolted by the army or the police. They are not allowed to get in. They eat. But you know what? Everyone is praying. Now they have understood the value of prayer. Everyone understands. Oh, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. He went down to Joppa. Never he went down to the port. And there was a ship. And everybody got into the ship. He also bought a ticket and got into the ship. And he went to the bottom of the ship. And he was sleeping. And the ship was full of goods for trading. Then came the storm. And when the storm came, and they all tried, nothing is helping. They are throwing everything outside. All their wealth they are throwing outside. That also is not helping. Every man called on to his God. But then one fellow went down and said, Jonah is sleeping.
ఇదిగో ఒక వ్యక్తి ఆ వెళ్లి అంటున్నాడు యోన నిద్రిస్తున్నాడు.
యు నో వాట్ హి వోక్ హిమ్ అప్ ఫర్?
ఇదిగో దేని కొరకు అతడు మెలకు వచ్చాడు.
హే మ్యాన్, వేక్ అప్ అండ్ ప్రే.
ఓ మనుషుడా, నీవు మెలకొని ప్రార్థించు. నీవు
ఎవ్రీబడీస్ ప్రేయర్ లైఫ్ చేంజ్ వెన్ ద స్టార్మ్ కేమ్.
ఇదిగో ఆ తుఫాను రేగినప్పుడు ప్రతి ఒక్కరి ప్రార్థన జీవితం మారిపోయింది.
ఎవ్రీబడీ, ద స్టార్మ్ ఇస్ కమింగ్.
ఇదిగో ఆ తుఫాను రేగుతుంది.
కమింగ్.
ఆ తుఫాను వస్తుంది.
కమింగ్.
అది తుఫాను
ఇస్ కమ్ టు మెనీ పార్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ ద వరల్డ్.
ఇదిగో ప్రపంచంలో అనేక
దేశాల ప్రేయర్ లైఫ్ హావ్ చేంజ్.
ఇదిగో ప్రతి ప్రజల ప్రార్థన జీవితం.
Nobody is praying like they prayed yesterday. Nobody is praying in China for promotion. Nobody is praying for marriage. Nobody is praying for first rank. Saying, Lord, save my life. Save my life. You know, when storms come, everything changes.
But
we are people of God. We don't have to wait for the storm. We are the only ones who knows the end from the beginning.
So
only us, it has all been given in detail what is coming. Jesus called it labor pains. If there is labor pains, there is a child to be born. If these are labor pains, then Christ coming is definitely very near. Then we are preparing for that. And not for this. Not for this world. We are preparing our families for His coming. We are preparing our children for His coming. And we are working in offices. We are preparing our offices for His coming. Two men. Came from the same family. Left the country of their birth the same day. Entered the promised land on the same day. And after some time, they went in two directions. God was going to judge. God was going to judge. But when God was going to judge, He would speak to one man. How can I do this without telling my friend Abraham? Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and the plains of the city. And this man standing before God and trying to stop it. On the other side, there is another man. When the angels come, He has no idea. In 12 hours time, his city and everything in the city is going to be destroyed. You know why? Because he was living for the world. And he was not living for the kingdom. And both are called righteous in the Bible. Abraham is called righteous. Lot is called righteous. Righteousness is one thing. Poverty of spirit is something else.
The
Bible says this. Blessed are those who are poor in the spirit. The first thing. Don't be confident like Paul. Peter.
Like
if everybody falls away, I will not fall away. I will die for you. No. Lord help me. I am weaker than the most.
I
am not really strong. Without you. Lord, I am nothing. Lord, I look into my prayer life and I really see my prayer life is weak. I see my prayer life is weak. And my prayer this first day, Lord, empower my prayer life. I need more of your spirit in my prayer life. Because to the letter in the Romans, Paul will say, we ourselves do not know how to pray for. But if we allow, the Holy Spirit will pray through us with groans that cannot be uttered. And he who searches the heart of God will pray for the saints according to the will of God. Lord, that's what I want my prayer life to be. Change my prayer life. Let your spirit pray through me according to your will for Malkajgiri, according to your will for this city, according to your will for this state, according to your will for my family. Not my will, Lord. Not my will, Lord. Not my will, Lord. Your will be done. So we have to check our prayer life. Second thing, equally important, if not more important, even more important, how is my word life? Word life. The faith comes from hearing. Hearing from the word of God. In Psalm 138, you don't have to turn there, but you can write there if you want. Verse 2. The second part says, I have magnified my word above all my name. I have magnified my word above all my name. That's the second question on the first day. What place does the word have? What place does the word have? What does the word have in my life? See, we cannot remember everything, but we really forget nothing. Our mind is divided into two parts. What is conscious? And what is subconscious? Nothing is ever forgotten. Everything we have heard and seen has gone into the subconscious. You know what Jesus said? Don't worry. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will bring to your remembrance what you have heard. So for the Holy Spirit to bring to my remembrance, I should have heard or read the word over and over again. It is deposited into my subconscious mind. than when we face our situation. Because we are depending upon the word and not on our understanding. Because scripture says lean on to God and to his understanding and not to lean on to our own understanding. And then when we ask, the Holy Spirit will bring scripture and we will know exactly what we are supposed to do. What we are supposed to say. That is how you live by faith. That is dependence upon the word. Like I said in the beginning, 40 days of Noah's flood. First time 40 is mentioned. 40 days in the mountain twice for Moses to receive the law. And 40 days Jesus is in the wilderness tempted of the devil. First temptation.
God who is
the flesh. If you are the Son of God, ask the stones to be turned to bread. We all know it very well. But the interesting part is this. What did Jesus say? What did he say? He is come in the flesh just like us. And
he
is being tested in an area called hunger like any one of us. And unlike us who cannot take turn stone to bread, he has power to turn stones to bread. So his testing is different. What does the Holy Spirit bring? He goes all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 8 and verse 3 and says, he says, it is written. I am the Son of God. That makes no difference. I, the Son of God, who has come in the flesh, will also stand on what is written. What is written? So, hello Jesus.
Yes, sir, yeah. Hello.
How do you know what is written? He said, haven't you read about me when I was a child? It is written in the book of Isaiah. In chapter 50. Morning by morning you awakened me. I did not turn like one rebellious. Therefore you opened my ears. Your spirit taught me. For Jesus was taught the word of God. As a child, he was taught the word of God. That's why at 30 when he is tempted, he is able to quote what is written. Now don't worry, our God is a loving, wonderful God. Bible does not say faith comes from reading. Doesn't say Bible does not come from faith does not come from reading. Because half the people in the world still cannot read. That's why scripture says faith comes from hearing. It is not reading that's what's important. What is important is hearing. What is important is hearing. Can we hear? That's why all the warnings in the book of Revelation is all those who have ears, let them hear what the Spirit says. Nowhere does the Bible say all those who have eyes, be careful what is written. Can we hear? Can we hear? That's the second thing. How dependent am I on hearing? I was telling my church last week. The most dangerous place a Christian can be. The most dangerous place. When you sin, God doesn't speak to you anymore. He doesn't warn you anymore. That's the most dangerous place you can be. You read the Bible. There were people, great anointed people who reached that place. The first anointed king of Israel reached that place. And now he's walking in disobedience. God doesn't speak to him anymore. Not only that, he tells his prophet Samuel, you will not go to him again. You know, when the prophetic voice stops in a church, we are in danger. God has stopped speaking. Faith comes from hearing. And hearing from the word of God. Scripture doesn't say faith comes from the word of God. Then we are all saved. I have faith, you have faith, because we all have the word. It does not say faith comes from the word of God. Scripture says faith comes from hearing. That hearing is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God speaks through the word of God. God stopped speaking to Saul. His last day of his life. Philistines and all the enemies have gathered. And he's crying out every way possible. What scripture says? God refused to answer. Refused to answer. Please remember, children, brothers and sisters, two important things in your life. How is my prayer life? How is my word life? How is my prayer life? How is my word life? How dependent am I upon God in my prayer life? Not thy name. Thy kingdom. Thy will. Thy honor. Thy glory. This glory. Five things from the Lord's prayer. Thy name. Thy kingdom. Thy will. Thy honor. Thy glory. Thy power. Let me not do anything in your name in my power also, Lord. Let it be done in your power alone. Then only you receive the glory. Ask this question. Lord, how is my prayer life? We don't have to wait 3 years. We don't have to wait 30 years. Oh, Apostle Paul, third day God saw him. He called a man. Nobody knew. Ananias, arise. Go to that city. Go to that street. Go to that house. Go to that room. That man is praying. And I've heard his prayer. He is my chosen vessel. He will stand before kings for my name. And he will suffer much for my name's sake. You know what? On the third day of his salvation life, Paul is one of those few people in human history who already knew his entire plan from God. Because God saw the poverty of his spirit. Peter had started earlier. John had started earlier. James had started earlier. All the apostles had started earlier. They were much older. Saul came much later. And when he was called, he was young. Hold your Bible in your hand. And you finish the four Gospels. And you come to chapter 6. And you come to chapter 9 of Acts. You have Apostle Paul coming in. After that you read the Bible. Except 12 of which talks about Peter. The entire book of Acts is what the Holy Spirit did through this man. You know why? Because God found he was poor of the Spirit on the third day. And you finish a book of Acts. Acts. You open your Bible. You begin with the book of Romans. You go to Corinthians. You go all the way to Philemon, even up to maybe Hebrews. Everything is written by Apostle Paul because he was poor of the Spirit and therefore he heard. Bible is not written by Peter. It's not written by Andrew. It's not written by James. It's written by God through Paul. Proud man first. Full of reliant on himself. His own word says, according to the law, blameless. Pharisee of Pharisees. Then he becomes the poorest of them all in the spirit. So today, as we look into, we have looked into the word of God, we have to ask, Lord, where do I stand? Where do I really stand? Where do I really, really stand? Because Peter stood and he made this declaration, even if everybody betrays, I will not betray. I will go and die with you. And that's not what Jesus said. He said, before the rooster crows two times. You know what? Our heart can get so hardened. Servant girl said, hey, are you with that Jesus? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know him. A little later, somebody else asked, are you from Galilee? I don't know what you're talking about. He heard the rooster crow the first time. He didn't hear. How many warnings do we need before we fall completely? How many warnings do we need before God tells your prayer life and your word life is taking you nowhere? How many warnings do we need? So use this 40 days. 40 days changed Moses' life. 40 days in the wilderness of Jesus Christ changed our lives. 40 days of judgment in Noah's time changed the whole world. Let it not be a ritual. Let not our trust be in ourselves. Rely on the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God. That's why Jesus said, it's good for you that I go. Then I go. I will send somebody just like me. He will be always with you. He will teach you. He will guide you. He will empower your prayer life. He will change everything. The Spirit of God is not a doctrine. He is a person. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul will say, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. The Bible, when the Spirit comes, becomes the sword of the Spirit. But the problem is, all the warnings are also connected with the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. Don't test the Spirit. Don't lie to the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't blaspheme to the Spirit. Because it's a real person. Person is forever speaking to us. Turn back. Turn back. Don't you see everything that is happening? Don't you see what's happening in Delhi? Don't you see what's happening in this country? What are you putting your trust in? Do you really see my citizenship is in heaven? Do you really believe? Because NRC is coming.
Where is your citizenship?
In that paper government gives, or is it there? Paul was a Roman citizen.
He's
a Roman citizen.
This
is the most powerful citizenship to have. But he says, my citizenship is of heaven. And he died at the hands of the Roman government. Why? Because he said, my citizenship is of heaven. How do we see? What do we rely on? What do we rely on? Our education?
Well,
the greatest educated man in Moses' time was Moses. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Egypt vidyabhyasam. The Vidyabhyasam of Egypt. Not Bible college.
Bible college
Egypt. The greatest nation then. Not in ordinary college. The college for the king's sons. He was the best educated man. At 40. At 40. At 80. Do you know his prayer before God? Lord, show me your ways. Teach me your paths. These are your people. If I have to take them from here to there, I can't do with my education. Please teach me your ways. What are we depending upon? What are we depending upon? Ask this important question. Lord, speak to me. Lord, teach me, Lord. Lord, I'm hungry and thirsty really to hear your voice. Because God is willing. Change our prayer life. Change our prayer life. Change our prayer life. Our prayer life should change in these 40 days. Especially to mothers. Especially to mothers. All the mothers sitting. Mothers are different from fathers. God made them different. He made you patient. You are Lord of patience with children. But God says, will you be patient with other people's children? Will you start interceding in patience for other children in the church? This is final problem. Everywhere in women's meeting, this is one thing I tell them. This is final promise in the Old Testament. Before the end comes, God will turn the hearts of the fathers back to the hearts of the children, and the hearts of the children back to the fathers. That's the last thing God will do. Because all around the world the problem is with fathers and sons. Everywhere. But the question is, in this promise, where are the mothers? Where is the mother? In the story of the prodigal son, you see here about two boys, and you hear about the father. Where is this mother? You know, I will tell you where the mother is in both cases. You know why the son comes back? And do you know why God will restore the father and the mother, the children? Because the mothers were praying. They were hidden in the closet.
And
God saw them in the closet interceding for the children of the world. God saw them.
దేవుడు వారిని చూసాడు.
గాడ్స్ ఫాదర్
దేవుడు వారిని చూసాడు.
ఇంటర్సీడింగ్
వారి విజ్ఞాపన
టెల్లింగ్ యు దిస్ 40 డేస్
ఈ 40 దినాలు
ఆల్ ది సిస్టర్స్ సిట్టింగ్ హియర్
ఇక్కడ ఉన్న సహోదరులు
లెట్ యువర్ ప్రేయర్ లైఫ్ చేంజ్
మీ ప్రార్థన జీవితాన్ని మార్చుకో.
అండ్ టు ద బ్రదర్స్ హియర్
ఇక్కడ ఉన్న సహోదరులు
దిస్ ఇస్ స్క్రిప్చర్
ఇది లేఖనం సారము.
స్క్రిప్చర్ సేస్
లేఖనం ఉంటుంది
ద హెడ్ ఆఫ్ క్రైస్ట్ ఇస్ గాడ్
ఇదిగో క్రీస్తుకు యొక్క శిరస్సు దేవుడై తండ్రి అయినాడు.
అండ్ ద హెడ్ ఆఫ్ మ్యాన్ హెడ్ ఆఫ్ మ్యాన్ ఇస్ క్రైస్ట్
ఇదిగో పురుషుని యొక్క శిరస్సు క్రీస్తు అయి ఉన్నాడు.
అండ్ ద హెడ్ ఆఫ్ ఉమెన్ ఇస్ మ్యాన్
స్త్రీ యొక్క శిరస్సు పురుషుడు అయి ఉన్నాడు.
స్త్రీ యొక్క శిరస్సు
పురుషుడు.
హూ ఇస్ దాట్
పురుషుడు.
హూ ఇస్ దాట్ Never in the Bible does God say the head of woman is God.
ఇదిగో ఎప్పుడు కూడా స్త్రీ యొక్క శిరస్సు దేవుడు అని ఎక్కడ బైబిల్లో చెప్పలేదు.
Yes, it said.
ఆ విధంగా చెప్పలేదు.
Yes, said the head of the woman is man.
స్త్రీ యొక్క శిరస్సు భర్త లేదా పురుషుడు నుండి.
But he says the head of man is Christ.
అయితే దేవుడు వాక్యపడుతుంది ఇదిగో క్రీస్తు పురుషుని యొక్క శిరస్సు క్రీస్తే ఉన్నాడు.
What does head mean?
ఆ శిరస్సు అంటే అర్థం ఏంటి?
Right now you can only see my head.
ఇదిగో ఇప్పుడు మీరు కేవలం తల మాత్రమే చూడగలుగుతారు.
Head is what is leading the body.
ఇదిగో శరీరాలంతా కూడా నడిపించేది అంటే శిరస్సు మాత్రమే.
If a man has to lead his wife and his family.
ఇదిగో ఒక వ్యక్తి తన భార్యను పిల్లల్ని నడిపించాలంటే
head of woman is man.
ఇదిగో స్త్రీ యొక్క శిరస్సు పురుషుడు.
The head of man is
ఇదిగో పురుషుని యొక్క శిరస్సు.
In the beginning was the word.
ఇదో ఆదియందు వాక్యము ఉండెను.
Word was with God.
వాక్యము దేవుడే
ఉండెను. The word was God.
వాక్యము దేవుడే ఉండెను.
Head of man is
మానవుని యొక్క శిరస్సు ఎవరు?
So all men, please have the word in your head.
ఇదిగో ఇక్కడ కూర్చున్న పురుషులందరూ కూడా దయచేసి మీ యొక్క శిరస్సులో దేవుని వాక్యాన్ని పెట్టుకోండి.
Don't tell your wife I am your head when your head is empty.
ఇదిగో నీ యొక్క భార్యతో నీ వరకు నీ యొక్క శిరస్సు ఉన్నారు నీ శిరస్సు ఖాళీగా ఉంచుకొని ఆ మాట చెప్పండి.
It is not a position.
ఎందుకంటే అది ఒక స్థానము కాదు.
It is a responsibility.
అది ఒక బాధ్యత.
Jesus could actually stand and say my head is my father.
ఇదిగో యేసు ప్రభు ఆయన నిలబడి ఆయన వాస్తవానికి నా శిరస్సు నా తండ్రి ఉన్నాడు.
You know why?
ఎందుకంటే
He says I do not do anything other than what my father does.
ఇదిగో నా తండ్రి చెప్పేది చేసేది మాత్రమే నేను చేస్తాను.
I do not speak anything what I have been heard from my father.
నా తండ్రి యొక్కను వెదరుని నేను వినదిది ఏది కూడా నేను మాట్లాడను.
If you see me,
ఇదిగో నీవు నన్ను
చూస్తే my father,
నా తండ్రి.
Because there is no difference between the two of us.
ఎందుకంటే మా ఇద్దరిలో ఏ వ్యత్యాసం భేదము లేదు.
Because my head is my father.
ఎందుకంటే నా శిరస్సు నా
తండ్రి. My entire thinking is governed by the word of my father.
నా ఆలోచనలన్నీ కూడా తండ్రి యొక్క మాట ద్వారా నిర్మించబడింది.
You know what he says? My father has never left me.
ఇదిగో నా తండ్రి ఎన్నడూ నన్ను విడిచిపెట్టలేదు.
Because I always do what pleases him.
ఎందుకంటే ఎల్లప్పుడూ ఆయనకి ఇష్టమైనది నేను చేస్తాను.
That's the call of man.
అదే మానవుని యొక్క పిలుపు.
The call of man is to be a man of the word of God.
ఇదిగో దేవుని యొక్క మానవుని యొక్క పిలుపు ఏంటంటే దేవుని వాక్యముగా ఉండడమే.
The call of the woman is
ఇదిగో మన స్త్రీ యొక్క పిలుపు.
To be a woman of prayer.
ఇదిగో ప్రార్థించే స్త్రీ.
Oh, if you are a husband and a wife like that.
ఇదిగో భార్యను భార్య భర్త ఆ విధంగా ఉంటే
you can make heaven shake.
నీవు పరలోకాన్ని భూలోకాన్ని నీవు కదిలింపచేయగలవు.
You can make heaven shake.
నీవు పరలోకాన్ని కదిలించగలవు.
So in these 40 days
కనుక ఈ 40 దినాల్లో
let us be what God has called us to be.
దేవుడు మనల్ని ఏ విధంగా ఉండడానికి పిలిచాడో ఆ విధంగా ఉంటాం.
Lord, oh, test me, Lord.
దేవుడను పరీక్షించు ప్రభువా.
Search me, O Lord.
దేవుడను వెతుకు.
See if there is anything that is in me is displeasing in your sight.
దేవా నీకు అయిష్టమైనది ఏదైనా నాలో ఉన్నదో ప్రభువా.
Take it away, Lord.
దాన్ని తీసివేయి.
Take it away, Lord. Do not let me be conformed to the pattern of the world.
ఈ లోక మర్యాదలను అనుసరించు వారిగా కర్త.
Renew my mind by your word, O Lord.
నీ వాక్యము ద్వారా నా వాక్యం నా మనసును ఉత్తరపరచుకో.
That I might know what is the good, pleasing and the perfect will of God.
దేవుని చిత్తము సంపూర్ణమైన పరిపూర్ణమైన చిత్తము ఏలుతుంది.
Because the hour is coming.
ఎందుకంటే గడియ రాబోతుంది.
And the hour is here.
ఇదిగో ఆ గడియ వచ్చింది.
What all you had prophesied in the last days.
ఇదిగో అంతము అంత దినాలను ప్రవచించిన ప్రతిదీ ఒక
It's happening before our eyes.
మా కళ్ళ ఎదుటనే కనబడుతుంది.
When these things happen.
ఇవన్నీ కూడా జరుగుతున్న సమయంలో
will not be scared.
దేవా మేము భయపడము.
Will not be frightened.
మేము భయపడకము నాయనా.
Will not be upset.
దేవా మేము నిరుత్సాహపడము.
We shall stand.
మేము నిలబడతాము.
And we shall lift our heads up.
మా శిరస్సును మేము పైకెత్తుతాము.
Because we know our redemption is near.
ఎందుకంటే మన విమోచన సమీపముగా ఉన్నదని.
Because all these days, O Lord,
ఈ కాలమొస్తూ ప్రభువా,
we were not preparing for this life.
ఈ జీవితము కొరకు మేము సిద్ధపడటలేదు.
We are preparing for that.
ఆ దినము కొరకు సిద్ధపడటం.
And if there are no labor pains,
ఇదిగో ఆ ప్రసవ వేదన లేని యెడల,
there cannot be a birth.
ఇదిగో ఆ జన్మ లేదు.
And if these things are happening,
ఇది జరుగుతున్న కదేలో,
that means these you are coming.
ఇది జరుగుతున్న కదే, ఇదిగో నీవు రావు.
That's the Lord what we've been waiting for all these years.
ప్రభువా, ఇదిగో ఇవన్నీ కాలములో దాని కొరకు మేము ఎదురు చూస్తున్నాము.
So though we grieve when people die,
కనుక
Yes, Lord, we are excited because you are coming. Shall we pray?
Father, this afternoon I just thank you, I just praise you, I just worship you. This first day of this 40 days, Lord, we come to you empty, poor, as beggars. Without you, we are nothing. Outside of you, we have nothing. We are poor, Lord. We are poor, Lord. Our prayer life is not sufficient. Our word life is weak. I can't speak for others, Lord. I can only speak for myself. I need your spirit, Lord. More of your spirit, Father. Oh, change our prayer life, Lord. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That when we read your word, the word reads us. Shows us as we are. And empowers us to change to who you are. And wherever you take us, wherever you keep us, you will enable us to be witnesses. True witnesses of Jesus Christ. And I pray the mothers will hear like Rebecca. Stand up like Deborah. And consecrate like Hannah. And I pray men will stand up like Abraham. Who will gather their fold together. Will stand strong like Moses. And plead to know the ways of God. And will stand like Paul till the end. Unflinching in the time of trial. And will be able to say, at the end, I have fought this good fight. I have finished my race. And I have kept my faith. Thank you, Father. Commit to Pastor Krishna Mohan. All the other pastors who are here. And all the church people who have gathered. We just surrender ourselves into thy hands, O Lord. Be with us, Lord. Fill us with yourself. Empty us of ourselves. We need you. We need you. We need you, Lord. Today, all the days of our life. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.